Water is what God uses to wash and nourish the earth. It's what we use to wash and nourish ourselves.
It's what I use to mix with my chemicals before I kill you.
She said while being recorded. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah.
I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. Hey there, I am Bethany, your onesie wearing, AC blasting, cozy mystery reading friend.
And I'm Kathleen, your Birkenstock wearing, fig jam on everything, dying to read the new Hunger Games book friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world. And we invite you to join us. This week, Kathleen, what are we talking about?
We are talking about the Phantom Barber of 1942.
What? Like Sweeney Todd?
Chop, chop, chop.
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. Yes. The Phantom Barber, Bethany.
I'm so excited.
Someone comes into your house and cuts your hair.
Wait, what? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just...
While you're sleeping.
He just came in and cut your hair.
While you're sleeping. Much like I do to my cats when they're sleeping and there's something stuck in their
hair. I do the same thing.
I cut their hair.
Yeah, same thing.
Bethany, what's on your plate this week?
Okay. We're going to be talking about something that I have been noticing for years now, and I wanted to get to the bottom of it. I wanted to figure out why so many companies are dropping the vowels out of their names. You know that I've gone off on a tangent about this before. Because of the stupid water bottle Hydrate, which is spelled H-Y-D-R-T, and then they did put the E on the end, and so it looks like high dirt, and it is the rectangular water bottle that doesn't fit in any cup holder and doesn't carry enough water to justify that.
No fucks given.
Zero fucks given by Hydrate.
One of my favorite brands, Beholden.
Yes.
B-H-L-D-N.
Yep. Yep. So there's a reason for this.
I'm really excited for you to get to the bottom of it.
And it's not the reason I thought. I'll be honest. I thought it was so that the names could fit on apps. So it could fit into like a square.
That makes sense. Yeah.
That's not why they did it at all. And
really?
Yeah. There's one company that led the way and they did it for kind of a dumb, stupid reason. And it set off this entire trend that's been going on for years. So we're going to be talking about that too.
Amazing. I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Now that some of us social distancing rules are, you know, like being lifted a little bit, have you been doing anything fun? Like, have you seen anybody?
No. I mean, look, I get nervous because I live in a neighborhood where during the weekend, people come in and don't wear masks.
Yeah.
And like the people who live in my neighborhood are awesome about it. But we get a lot of tourists who come into my neighborhood and we get a lot of families that come in and they don't wear masks much at all.
Yeah.
And so I haven't really felt safe going out at all, especially on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And that really hasn't changed for me. And plus, like, where do you go? Like, Kathleen, are you going anywhere?
I have seen friends and I really thought that I didn't miss seeing people. I've been visiting friends mainly like in their backyards,
okay.
You know, for like 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
Which is why now, if you can do it safely with masks on and at a distance, it's the best time to see a friend because you don't have to stay very long. Just be like, hey, I'm going to stop by for 10 minutes. And then you chat and you're like, oh, look at the time.
That's true. Like this transition period is an introvert's dream.
It really.
We get to make those. And then think about it. If you have a friend that you see maybe twice a year. Mm-hmm. And you don't really want to, but you know you should for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Now's the time to get one of those on the books because then you're set until like Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stand in front of their house for 10 minutes, 6 feet apart. It was even safer, 8 feet apart. You know, you each bring a drink, you know, like a seltzer or something. So it feels like a special getup, you know, or coffee or whatever. And then you chat. Oh, time's up. Gotta go.
Yeah. I think that Jeremy's going to swing by and we're going to talk. Like from a sidewalk away this weekend, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the thing. I guess it's time. I'm nervous, but it's okay.
My friend Rebecca made a very good point. I saw her this weekend. We went for a very long, like 8 mile walk. And my butt was feeling it the next day, which is good. It's good.
Nice.
Exercise is good. And she said, during this time, if you're starting to see people again, but you're still wearing your masks and you're, you know, you're washing your hands and you're being really safe, it's sort of like your trust circle.
Mm.
The people you see, you have to trust that they are taking safety precautions, that they're not acting reckless when they're out in public, and they have to trust the same thing from you.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely now not get in an Uber. Definitely not, because you don't know that person.
Yeah.
But I think people that are in your inner circle who you trust to make safe health decisions.
Yeah.
It's probably okay based on your local neighborhood and area to, like, you know, maybe see someone from a distance or something.
I think that's a really good point. I know somebody who has started jumping on the apps again.
Yeah.
And is hooking up with people again.
Oh, God, no.
And she's saying, like, no, they're saying that they've been quarantined for a couple of weeks and they've been socially distancing. And I said to her, like, but how do you know? How do you know they're telling the truth? To your point, you have to be around people who you actually know are making good decisions. Mm. Versus your friend's new boyfriend, Jim, who maybe isn't always great at good decisions. He seems like he makes questionable ones.
The sour point to all of this is that now I have to start paying attention to what I'm wearing again.
Ugh.
I walked by the mirror the other day and I had on like knee socks and stretchy pants with like mesh cutouts in them and then like pigtails and like a double tank top, you know, like how people used to wear double polos in college, you know.
Pop both collars.
I'm rich enough to own two expensive Lacoste polos, so I will wear them at once. And I was wearing like a double tank top. Why? I don't know. One was big, one was small.
Yeah.
And I looked in the mirror. I was like, damn, this got changed. Because I was on my way out to see a friend. And on top of it, I was wearing Birkenstocks, which I brought a little show and tell today. I'm holding it up to the camera for you to see.
Wow.
Mama got herself a pair of Birkenstocks, like old 70s style hippie Birkenstocks, not even the cute metallic kinds that they're making now. And I cannot stop wearing them.
Did granola come as a gift with purchase?
It did. Yeah. It was a free sample of Elizabeth granola. I have the granola bar right here. Yummy, yummy.
By the way, can I shout out somebody really quickly?
Of course.
So I got to be a guest on the podcast Pink Among Men and hosted by Amy DiPaola. She's wonderful. She's a producer and a writer and a director and an actress. And her Pink Among Men podcast, it talks to mostly women. She's going to start to talk to men, but people in the creative field, people who do a lot of different things. And it was just a really fun talk. We talked basically about my entire life from where I was born to like 2 days ago and just all of the different jobs I've had and the different experiences I've had. We talked about this podcast. I talked about you, Kathleen, and it was really, really fun. So definitely take a listen. It's anywhere your podcasts are. It's called Pink Among Men. And yeah, support Amy, and it's on Paper House Network. It's just a great group of people.
Did you talk about how when you worked at the bank, you lost $1 million?
I'm trying to remember if that came up or not. I don't think it did, but we definitely talked about how I had to like pretend I was sick many times to audition for my radio job. You know,
I was
I cannot remember if it's $200 million or $2 million. It was either $2 or $200 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we found it is the important part of the story. You know, well, we found it again. And at that point, when it's that much money, it's just numbers. It's not even real.
You definitely belong in the creative field, my friend.
Yeah, it was not a good thing.
All right. I also have something to share with you.
Ooh, tell me.
I've been cleaning out my dad's basement. I found a record that everyone is going to be so jealous of me for having. I'm holding it up to camera. I will post a picture on our website. It's called How to Keep Your Husband Happy, Look Slim, Keep Trim, Exercise Along with Debbie Drake. Now, it's a guy in a turquoise cardigan, like a 1950s madman looking guy, laying on the ground, looking up to the sky like he's dreaming. And then there's like a chat bubble coming out of his head. And in the chat bubble is a woman, I'm assuming, is Debbie Drake in all sorts of workout positions. I'm going to hold this up so you can see it.
Oh, gosh. She's like on her back, kicking her legs. And then here she is doing downward dog or upward dog or whatever, cobra. And then she's kicking and she's dancing.
She's the original fitness influencer, Bethany. I've discovered her record.
You have a turntable, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And I put it on and it was like too complicated. I couldn't keep my stomach and my hips moving in the way that she wanted. And then I had to tap my head and tap my shoulders. And Bethany.
Okay, two things, Kathleen. First of all, how can you even do a fitness record where there's like literally no visuals?
She tells you what to do. She tells you what to do.
Second, why did you listen to it at all? Because basically, that record is why so many women have issues.
On the back, it says hands in bold letters. A man loves to hold graceful hands. It's quite often a problem for a woman to keep her hands graceful and attractive with all the housework that she does.
No kidding.
Water and heat are very aging for your hands. Always wear rubber gloves when washing dishes or doing any other chores that require putting your hands in water.
Wow.
Use insulated gloves. You can buy them at the dime store. When you are cooking, your hands should never be near the heat, especially when you reach into the oven. Practice a graceful position when holding your hands. When you hold your hands down, the veins stand out and make them look ugly.
Wow.
Included in this album are exercises designed especially for the hands.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Don't let your hands hang down, Bethany, because then your veins look ugly.
So what, are you supposed to just stand all the time like you're about to go into surgery? This is, I don't want to punch a record, but what's it called again?
It is called How to Keep Your Husband Happy, Look Slim, Keep Trim, and Exercise Along with Debbie Drake.
Husband Happy, Look Slim, Keep Trim. Late 50s, early 60s.
It must have belonged to my grandmother. I hope it didn't belong to my grandfather.
Oh my gosh. I hope. If you ever figure out what those hand exercises were, though, let me know.
Hold your fingers up, ladies. Jazz hands. Work out those fingers. Keep them slim. Don't let your veins bulge.
Kathleen, we are spending so much time at home right now. And also, we need to be focusing on getting enough sleep. That's why when our well-being is more important than ever, there's a company we want to tell you about that's working to help you commit to a healthy approach to sleep. It's called Etitude. Etitude's premium bamboo bedding is changing the way people sleep and live.
My Etitude duvet cover came this week, and let me tell you, it is the softest. I didn't even know fabric could be this soft. It's when I lay down underneath my Etitude duvet, it feels like there are a zillion little kittens cocooned all over my body.
Their clean bamboo charcoal fabric is infused with eco-friendly and naturally antimicrobial bamboo charcoal, and the sheets are proven to kill 99.9% of microorganisms. My Etitude sheets are on the way, and I cannot wait to try them.
I know that you're a sweaty person, especially when you sleep. Etitude is made with clean bamboo, so it's extremely breathable. It wicks away moisture and regulates your body temperature. You're going to feel like you're floating on a cloud underneath your sheets.
I mean, last night I slept in my regular sheets and I woke up in a pool of my own sweat. So I'm like really looking forward to a change at this point.
Don't take our word for it. You have to try Etitude yourself. These amazing sheets have a 30-day risk-free trial. So if you're not satisfied, you can return your sheets for a full refund. I'm telling you, you're not going to return them.
Etitude sheets, they're soft as silk, breathable as linen, but at the price of cotton. You're going to love them. And right now, our listeners will get 20% off of their sheet set plus free shipping. All you have to do is text TASTE to 64000.
The only way to get 20% off of your Etitude sheets and free shipping is to text TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to 64000. Again, that's TASTE to 64000.
Kathleen.
Yeah.
There are so many companies out there that have dropped the vowels out of their names, or they've started recently, and so no vowels existed at all. I have started making a photo album in my phone, a rage album called No Vowels, VWLS, and I'm going to show you some over the camera. So, for example, here is the Travel Channel recently changed their logo to just TRVL.
Travel.
Here is the aforementioned High Dirt bottle. Here is Beholden, BHLDN, Within, WTHN, which is, I think, a wellness or acupuncture. Mm. And then this is a business here in New York, Dental Bar, DNTL. Bar.
It's cute. It's got a little toothbrush in there.
It's got a little toothbrush. It's a little cute little baby toothbrush. So this drives me crazy, and I didn't know why it was happening, so I looked into it. So from what I could find, the first company who ever dropped the E out of their name, because this is a big one, was Flickr, the online photo company, in 2004.
Yeah, Flickr.
Yeah, so Flickr dropped the E. Now, here's why. I was thinking fit on a nap, but that wasn't it at all. Flickr dropped the E for the simple reason that they could not get the domain flickr.com. F-L-I-C-K-E-R.com was already taken. The guy who owned it wouldn't sell it. And so the co-founder of Flickr, Katarina Fake, said, I suggested to the team, let's remove the E. They all said, that's too weird. But finally, I ground everyone down. Then, of course, it became the thing, and everyone started removing vowels left and right.
And it was basically just we couldn't get the website that we wanted.
Because they couldn't get the website they wanted. So then The next, to my understanding, what I could find, yeah. the next organization to do this was the band MGMT. So when they formed in 2002.
I like them.
Yeah, they were called The Management.
Okay.
And they came out with a couple of, I think, EPs, a couple of like indie albums under that name. But then a few years later, they realized another band already used that name. So they shortened it to MGMT. So that was around, from what I can understand, about 2005. So about a mm-hmm. year after Flickr did it. Mm-hmm. Then Tumblr launched in 2007. And Tumblr is spelled T-U-M-B-L-R, no E.
Yeah.
And according to the editorial director of Tumblr, his name is Christopher Price, he said, at the end of the day, it all comes down to one simple, absolute truth. Tumblr.com, T-U-M-B-L-E-R, looks fucking stupid. So they took the E out. So one of the reasons is that it's really hard to find a URL for your company if you're yeah. using a word that already exists. But it's really hard to come up with a completely different word that hasn't existed before for your company. Like Kodak did it, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah. it's really tough. I mean, even Google is a number. But they just took it and now it means Google.
You know what? That is a fun game. Get all your friends over, pour them all cocktails, and then come up with company names from words that don't exist before.
Hun, there's a website. Let's go there now. There was a website called Wordoid, WORDOID.com. It has a bunch of words that aren't real that would be cool business names. For example, Blossa, B-L-O-S-S-A, Cyprident, C-Y-P-R-I-D-E-N-T.
Oh, and how cool. This website tells you whether or not the URL is available.
Uh-huh. It's really, really crazy. And then you can be like, if you want the word to start with a short fragment, for example, if I wanted it to start with like BB, they say that's not valid. How about just B? I want it to begin with the letter B.
You know what's available, Bethany?
What?
Coffee without the C. Offee.com. We need to use this.
So there's a whole thing. It's also really, really hard to trademark a name that already exists. Coffee, you can't trademark coffee, right? But no, you could trademark Offee.
Offee.
Much easier.
Yeah. A local. Local with two L's at the end. Local.com.
Local.com. There you
go. Two L's at the end because your friends are local and we're telling them all the hot, fun things to do. Local.
Two friends are better than one. Two L's. So then after this happened, the missing E became a trademark of trendy new companies. And it's a way for other companies who are just coming out to identify themselves in the same league as these existing trendy companies. It's basically now shorthand for identifying yourself as a trendy new company.
You know, it's not all that different when you're going to have a baby and you type the baby name that you like with your last name into Google to see if there are other famous people out there with your baby's name and like how unique would this kid be with this name?
That's a really good point. I think more people should probably do that.
By the way, Incred.com is available. And if we don't buy that right now, I'm getting business divorced with you.
Okay. I cannot buy any more websites from a conversation. I have so many websites that I bought after a conversation that I am never going to do anything with. So really quickly, I want to say who my sources are because they're amazing. And I have them all listed in the show notes. But money.howstuffworks, open.buffer.com, hbr.org, thehistoryvault.co.uk, BBC, Sunday Magazine, Wikipedia, and thenextweb.com, New York Times, all of those great articles.
Damn, girl, you did your homework.
I did a lot of research. I also did a lot of research that ended up not getting used, like the history of the telegraph machine. But anyway, one of the reasons that people drop vowels in brand names like Grindr, Flickr, Tumblr is its stylization. It's that hip feeling, right? It puts you in par with those other companies. Also, you're more likely to get the website you want. Also, you're more likely to have a hashtag come back to your company. So for example, if you're Flickr and you want people to use the hashtag Flickr, people aren't necessarily going to know why someone is using the hashtag of just the word Flickr.
Yeah.
That means nothing. But if it's just the Flickr without the E, then you're like, oh, that's the company. It makes more sense.
That's where I store my photos.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
yeah,
cloudly.com is available. Cloudly.
Are you serious?
We could form like a mattress company because I don't think there are enough mattress companies out there. And we could call it Cloudly.
So one of the things that these interviewers said is that if you're going to come up with a fake name, one of the best reasons to do it is because your fake name better describes your company than anything else.
Yes.
So for example, Instagram is perfect because you understand that it's sort of a vintage style because of like the gram, and like even the word Insta for me sounds old timey because you understand inherently that it's photographs, the gram, but also that it's like an old timey feel.
Yeah.
But Cloudly feels like that kind of thing. It feels like a super comfy, super like comforting kind of vibe, whatever it is.
We could sell slippers.
We could sell slippers.
We could sell bathrobes. We could sell hugs.
Cloudly.hugs.
I'm sorry.
So another cool thing about Cloudly, for example, since you found it, is that there's another trend that has shown up in naming businesses. Adopting the country code top level domain, such as .ly, .be, .us, right? It's those domains that aren't .com, .edu that can add into your name. So companies like about.me have done this. However, it can be really hard. There was a company that's called Reachly. Their website is reach.ly.
Okay.
Reachly was a real-time analytics service for e-commerce businesses.
Huh.
They originally wanted to get the .it extension. They wanted to be reachit, reach.it, but that was already taken. And instead, their domain name service, like GoDaddy, will sometimes recommend you a different option.
Yeah.
They recommended .ly, so they changed their name to Reachly. But there's a problem with that. One of the really hard things comes from Eric Beeler, who founded Squiggle. He said, using these country code top level domains just because they fit, don't do it, because it can be really, really hard to tell people what your domain is. There was a company called Let's Feast, and they found that there was a country code that was .st. So they were Let's Fee.st because it looked cool.
No.
But how do you tell people it's Let's FEA.st, which is now it's just confusing. It's clever, but it's hard. It's a pun that works when you speak it, but not when you write it down, or vice versa.
I just came up with an excellent consulting business for the two of us to open up, Bethany.
Okay. What's that?
She's smart. She's not. So that's the name of the company.
Okay.
You're the smart one. And companies are like, we want to name our company blah, 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 blah. And you're like, okay, I'm a smart person and I get it. And then I'm the dumb one. I'm the not smart one.
Kathleen, I don't like this at all.
I'm like, the everyday person, not going to understand. Not going to understand. And they can't name their company until both of us are like, yes, we understand.
I have issues with this company for many reasons. But like as an idea, I actually really like it.
High and low end. We could also call it that too.
Maybe that's better. Maybe that's better. Or just like two different people. I don't know. Whatever. I like the idea. Okay. Here's another reason that some companies are shortening their names.
Okay.
For money. A study found that companies who have really short, simple names attract more shareholders. Mm. They have higher amounts of stock trading and they perform better on certain financial indices than companies that have hard to process names, hard to remember names, hard to just even write names.
Yeah.
So good companies are like Lyft, Airbnb, Hulu, Quick and Easy.
Target.
Bad company names. National Oilwell Varco.
What?
And Freeport, McMoRan, Copper, and Gold.
I don't use those rideshare services.
Exactly. Mm-mm. Too long. Mm-mm. So this study found that even reducing your company's name length by one word could translate to $3.75 million in added market value for a medium-sized firm.
Maybe that's why everyone shortens Anthropology to Anthro.
Exactly. Kathleen, no, this is exactly it.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a name and you're aiming to, go high and very successful, a short name, especially if you're naming it the way that it would already look on the stock market exchange, is great. Because I think Amazon is probably what? AMZN?
Yeah.
On the stock market. It both puts it in people's heads and also it's just, for some reason, makes you very successful.
Hell yeah.
But one of the reasons this can backfire, the founder and CEO of the music sharing app Now Playing.
Never heard of it. So yeah.
Exactly. And can you guess, Kathleen, how they spelled Now Playing?
N-O-W.
You're wrong already.
N-W.
Yep.
Now P-L-Y-N. Now Playing.
Nope.
Okay.
N-W-P-L-Y-I-N-G.
Northwest Playing.
Yes, Northwest Playing without the A. So the founder and CEO, Utsav Agarwal, said, "From my experience with Now Playing, I would not recommend it to anyone. Users misspell it way too often, even the ones using it regularly, and that means you lose out on network effect and app downloads."
Wow.
So if you are a company that's going to do this, make sure that it's really, really clear. So here are some companies that have jumped onto this trend. Unboxed, UNBXD.
Yeah.
Beholden. Modern, MDRN, is a New York real estate website.
Mm-hmm.
Mindful, MNDFL, is a meditation app.
Oh, I have a friend who works there.
Within is an acupuncture company. We talked about them before.
Okay.
And then The Weeknd did it.
Oh.
W-E-E-K-N-D.
Oh.
And then, do you remember Joe Jonas's band, DNCE?
Yeah, dance with no vowels.
Yep, but the E on the end, which is, okay. So now we're going to play a little game, Kathleen. I am going to read the letters to you. Mm. It might work to write them down.
Okay.
So you can look at them.
Let me get some paper.
Gentle listener, you can play this at home or as a team building exercise. Write down the letters I'm going to tell you of these different bands, and you're going to tell me what the name is. Okay?
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Okay. Here's the first one.
Uh-huh.
BLK.
Mm-hmm.
JKS.
Black Jokes. Black Jokes.
Black Jacks.
Black Jacks. Okay.
Black Jacks.
All right. All right.
Okay. Okay. Here's the next one.
Uh-huh.
CHL.
CHL.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
LNGR.
Children Linger.
Nope. It's all one word.
CHLLN Challenger.
Challenger. Very good.
Challenger. Okay.
Okay. Here's another one.
Children Linger. Okay.
All right. MLKMN.
Milkman.
Milkman.
Yay.
All right. Here's another one.
All right.
SBTRKT.
Starbucks? No. SBTRKT.
Yep.
Subtract.
Subtract. Very good.
Subtract with a K. Ooh, they're edgy.
And then one more.
Okay.
STRFKR. STRFKR.
Strong fucker.
Close. I think it's Starfucker.
Strongfucker, Starfucker.
Yeah. So there you go. Those are the reasons why companies are all jumping on this bandwagon. I feel much less rage now that I know why they're doing it.
And it saves money when you're printing business cards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally it does.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just a giant bandwagon that people all jumped on. And then, you know, one person believes the hype and then everyone believes the hype and then the hype is real.
Bethany, did you know that Coffined is available? C-O-F-F-E-N-E-D. We could start a company where we offer people an experience where they're drinking coffee in a coffin.
Yes, exactly. And then you can have t-shirts that say, "I got coffined."
Yes. Or you know what else is available? Costle, C-O-S-T-L-E, where you're spending as much as you would to spend the night in a castle, but the experience is not as refined. So it's just a costly...
Okay. No. I hear you. Mm. I hear you. And let's okay, so let's put that on the board and then let's also try something different.
Okay.
What if it's a very cost-effective night stay at a castle?
Oh, love it. I love it.
It's a low costal.
Like a castle that's a hostel.
Yeah. And you get moited in it.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Whenever my husband puts on his Mack Weldon loungewear, I'm so damn attracted to him.
I know. Dennis was wearing his Mack Weldon t-shirt over the weekend, and it sits like really in that space where the muscles move into each other. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
It gives him enough room, but it's still tight in the right spots, but loose and flow. Oh, I love it.
Let us tell you a little bit about Mack Weldon, because their basics are transforming the way that our significant others are dressing. I know high quality essentials for me are hard hard to find. But for my husband, I feel like he's always just wearing like crappy cotton t-shirts. Mack Weldon is stepping up the game with their essentials.
Mack Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and more that you will ever wear.
Mack Weldon values its loyal customers, and that's why they've created their Weldon Blue loyalty program. Here's how it works. You create an account. It's totally free. You place an order for any amount, and then for the rest of the year, you never have to pay shipping again. And once you've purchased $200 worth of products from Mack Weldon, not only will you continue to receive free shipping, you will also start saving 20% on every single order that you make for the next year.
That also grants you access to new products before they're released to anyone else, as well as free gifts added to future orders.
Neil and his shorts, those like stretchy blue lounge shorts, it's like Neil's new favorite thing.
Dennis got a bunch of t-shirts because that's his favorite thing to wear, both out, like with a jacket, and just at home. He has been wearing these shirts on rotation. They are his new favorite shirt. So for 20% off of your first order, visit mackweldon.com and enter the promo code TASTE. Again, to get 20% off your first order, mackweldon.com and promo code TASTE.
Bethany.
Kathleen.
Let's go back to the year 1942.
Ooh, 'twas a good year.
Specifically.
Well, it wasn't a great year.
The summer of 42. No, it was World War II.
We were at war. Yeah, we weren't. It wasn't a great year. No, I take that back.
Now, my sources, I just want to name them in the beginning, and then I'm going to put them in our show notes. Newspapers.com, mentalfloss.com, funfactswithaz.com,
ooh,
and themedium.com. So
great.
During this time of COVID, people cannot wait to get their haircuts, right? It's social isolation. Salons are closed in most states.
Yeah.
And with salons shutting down, our split ends are forming even more split ends. There's so many hair tributaries everywhere. Our highlights are growing out. And those of us that have been hiding grays are being outed from the hair color closet.
Mm, it's a tough time for all of us.
It is.
Just like World War II. We're all victims.
We're all victims.
Jesus.
But once upon a time, in a fishing community in a place called Pascagoula, Mississippi. Pascagoula. A man was breaking into people's homes and giving haircuts to young girls while they slept.
Dun, dun, dun!
It was the early days of World War II when Pascagoula, located on the southern Gulf shore of Mississippi, grew in population. I mean, the population just surged. It went from 5,000 to 15,000 people. And that was because warships were being constructed on the Gulf in Pascagoula.
Okay.
Having a larger population was a great economic boom for local businesses, but it also meant that there was more crime, more drunken brawls, more burglaries, and law enforcement couldn't keep up, particularly with one criminal nicknamed the Phantom Barber.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. I love the names that they give criminals. Oh, they're so good. The Phantom Barber is good.
Old-timey criminals especially.
Yeah. Wait, what year did Sweeney Todd get written? I'm going to look that up really quickly.
Yeah, look it up right now.
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. I also have to tell you that when I was doing research for this story, I was reading the San Francisco Examiner from that same year. And apparently there was also another criminal called the Kiss Bandit and someone called the Toe Tickling Burglar, which I don't know who's more terrifying.
Like, Sweeney Todd, the musical, is based on the original play, and the play was written in 1973. So it's possible that this inspired that.
Ripped from the headlines.
Yeah. Dun, dun.
Okay. Let's go back to the first cut.
Okay, it's the deepest.
June 5th, 1942, it was a Friday. The first victims of this sneaky scissored hand man were two young ladies. sneaky scissored
Edward hand. Scissorhands, the sneaky scissored hand man.
Yes, exactly.
I love this.
There were two young ladies. They lived at Our Lady of Victory's convent. Okay. Their names were Mary Evelyn Briggs and Edna Marie Hayden. Now, I couldn't find the exact age of Mary online, but a photo taken that summer shows her to be about 12, and Edna was only 7.
If she looked 12,
yeah,
she was probably like 8 because everyone looked so much older then and sad.
I know. So the story goes, they were awoken in the night to find a man creeping out of their bedroom window.
Oh, God, it's a nightmare.
Aside from being extremely terrified from the whole ordeal, they were each missing chunks of hair from their head. Oh. They were totally unharmed except for the missing hair. And I have to say, It's sort of funny how they described him to the police.
Okay.
The only description they could give to the police was sort of fat, sort of short. And he was wearing a white sweatshirt.
A white sweatshirt?
A white sweatshirt. He was sort of fat and sort of short. Yep.
Did sweatshirts exist in 1942?
Yeah, they did. They definitely did. It's just a sweatshirt. I don't know.
I was like, what was my shirt? Those cops must have just been like, oh God, kids are the worst and also awful police witnesses. But we all know they are.
Yeah. Not good police witnesses. Unless they're geniuses, you know.
Right.
Which happens from time to time. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Doogie Howser.
Yeah. So Mary, the older girl of the two, said she awoke because she felt somebody fooling with her hair. She opened her eyes and there was a man standing over her with something shiny in his hands. And when he saw that her eyes opened, he put one finger to his lips and said to her very quietly, shh.
Nope. 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 Nightmare. Nightmare number one, waking up to a man standing over you. Nightmare number two, when the person in your room goes, shh. That is awful.
Yep.
The poor girl.
She tried to make out what he was saying at first because she was like, what is he saying? And then she realized that he was shushing her. And then she started to scream. She said that terror just built up from her gut and came out her throat. And then when she started yelling, because it was a dormitory, there were people nearby and people came in to check on her. And she was so startled. She's like, was it a dream? Like, what happened? And then she realized that she saw a man shoot across her room after she started to scream and slip out her window. And sure enough, there was a slice in the screen, in the window, in the room, and the edges were just kind of dangling.
In the night, in the dark.
And then one of the nuns who came to, you know, check on her to make sure that she was okay, saw that a big chunk of her hair had been cut off. And then the younger girl, she was only 7, Edna, she woke up too during all of this and then realized that a chunk of her hair was also missing.
So do they talk about what we mean by a chunk? Is it from the root? Is it just like the ends? Is it a fist?
So they did show a photo in one of the newspapers that was printing the story, and it was like an inch left at the root, and then the rest of a big chunk of strand was totally gone.
Good Lord. So he wanted all of it.
He wanted all of it.
Ugh. It's like in Crimson Peak where... hold on. What's her name?
I've never seen this movie.
You've never seen this motion picture?
No. Uh-uh. It's on my list. It keeps popping up because I'm like into the horror things lately. It's a horror movie, right?
Yeah, it's really good. It's one of my favorite movies. It's when one of the famous redheaded actresses, not Bryce Dallas Howard, but the other one who looks just like Bryce Dallas Howard, Jessica Chastain, she takes locks of hair from the women who've been, and then she puts it in a drawer. And it's amazing. And just like the Marie Kondo lover in me really loves the neatness of it. Because it's very perfect rows of like curled hair and it's the same every time. And you watch her do it and you're like, yeah, she's done this before. It's really well done.
She's dedicated to her collection.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very neat indeed. And precise.
Let's talk about the second cut. Just a few days later, June 8th, was a Monday. His next victim was 6-year-old Carol Petey. And the Phantom Barber, again, cut a slit in the screen of her window and crawled inside to snip the hair of a little girl while she was fast asleep next to her twin brother.
I hate that they're all little girls.
I know. Ugh. I know. He left without a sound, but when her parents realized that a chunk of her hair was missing in the morning, they did find a sandy, bare footprint next to the window.
Oh, so he wasn't wearing any shoes.
That's
either gross or really respectful of him. Just depending on if he's worried about tracking anything, but then he already tracked something anyway with the sand, so.
I mean, it's a coastal community, so he could have been like, you know, a cool beach vibe guy, you know.
Yeah. Maybe he sells t-shirts during the day and then he steals little girls' hair by night.
Hair at night. And then maybe he weaves something important with that hair. I'm trying to give this guy the benefit of the doubt.
I don't know if you can. I appreciate that in you, Kathleen, but I think that he is probably a criminal.
So the thrice attack was a no chop and it was far more sinister than the previous.
Did you say it was a no chop?
It was a no chop.
Okay. Okay, is that how we're categorizing it? Chop, no chop.
It was the thrice no chop. It was Friday, June 12th. So all of these dates are fairly close to each other, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So.
He's like a weekend warrior.
This time when the barber struck, he attacked a couple. They were sleeping in their bed. And unlike the previous two times where he wasn't violent, this time it escalated. He physically assaulted this couple, Mr. and Mrs. Heidelberg with a heavy iron crowbar, breaking off several of the woman's teeth and knocking her husband unconscious.
Jesus.
Both of them survived the attack, but the whole thing happened so quickly that they never got a good look at their assailant. And also, there was no hair taken.
So this is the first time he attacks adults, yes?
Yeah.
So I wonder if he didn't expect there to not be children. Like, he was expecting a child and then freaked out when he realized that it was people who could take him on, maybe?
Yeah, or maybe he wasn't expecting them to wake up.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Did they say if the crowbar was his or was it already in the house?
It doesn't say, okay. You know. Police details back then were very shoddy. You know, not good records from 1942. It was a long time ago.
There weren't any true crime podcasts discussing the goings-on?
No, no. There was no, and I'm very proud of this. Typical trophy tuft.
Did you? Well done. Well done.
I didn't make that up, but I do love it so very much. There was a slit in the screen of their window. This is why I don't sleep with the windows open. Mm. I'm sorry. I don't.
No, you're going to die.
Like, I just don't. No, you can't. Unless you live 16 floors up and there's no fire escape at your window, you can't do it.
Yeah. No. My fire escape is a source of constant anxiety at night.
Yeah.
That window gets bolted, locked. Mm-hmm. I put shards of glass along the lining of the window in case someone still gets in. Man, they're going to cut themselves and all that glass. And then I put razor wire, and on top of the razor wire, honey, because the honey is sticky. It won't hurt you, but it will annoy you.
And murderous bees like honey. So there you go.
So there you go.
At this particular attack where he attacked Mr. and Mrs. Heidelberg, police came and they sent six men with bloodhounds up into the trail behind this couple's house. And they did find a pair of blood-stained gloves in the woods nearby, but it was raining, so the bloodhounds were thrown off the case. Yeah, they couldn't pick up the scent. Police think that the assailant might have stashed a bicycle, and that's how he got away.
Wow. What an old-timey way to get away from a crime. I stashed my bike. I mean, it's Mississippi, but I stashed my bike in the woods. I get a shove. I get a clippy-clippy.
A clippy-clippy.
I bang him on the face with my crowbar, and then I bike away, I do.
You know, maybe that's why this guy's stealing hair. He just wants to bike and feel the wind in his face and his hair blowing all around him.
Wow. Wow.
He's making a wig.
Wow.
Okay, final attack, Sunday, June 21st. So still just only a few days separating these attacks. A woman identified as Miss R.R. Taylor was awoken by a sickening smell and something gliding over her face. Ugh. The next thing she remembers is waking up and getting violently ill. Police later determined that Mrs. Taylor was attacked with chloroform by the barber. So he put a chloroform-soaked rag over her face. And if you do like a little bit of research into what chloroform smells like, a lot of people will say it's disgustingly sweet, like something really gross. Oh. And then he cut a lock of her hair.
And that's it. It's crazy. But she wasn't, as they used to say, interfered with.
No.
Like, he didn't assault her. He just... It's so weird. It's like, I wonder...
It's like he was going to give chloroform to the previous couple, Mr. and Mrs. Heidelberg, and then the guy was there and maybe it startled him or they woke up before he could do it, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So residents lived in fear for months. They were afraid that the barber was going to strike again, and rightfully so, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And, you know, even though it was a quiet period, like the attacks had stopped, parents still slept in their children's rooms. Residents kept their windows shut all night. And you can imagine in 1942 how hot it was in Mississippi with your windows.
In June?
Oh, God. Ugh.
Awful. That's awful.
And some members of the community maybe even thought that this man was collecting hair to perform backcountry hex ceremonies. Ugh.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, God. All right. So there is an ending to this. Months after the attacks, police suddenly announced that they had caught the phantom barber.
Ooh.
They said it was a local man. He was German. His name was William Dolan. He was a 57-year-old chemist. Okay?
Okay.
And turns out that this guy, William Dolan, had gotten into a fight with Mr. and Mrs. Heidelberg's father. So Mr. Heidelberg's father was a local magistrate. And there's apparently a legal issue. And so Elder Heidelberg... the magistrate.
Which sounds like a delicious jam or preserve, by the way.
It does, right? Yeah.
I'll have some of your Elder Heidelberg.
Or like a pie company. You go.
Yeah, totally.
Come to Walmart. Come to ShopRite. Get Elder Heidelberg's finest blackberry jam pie at Thanksgiving. Elder Heidelberg decided that this guy, William Dolan, was the one, for whatever reason, who was attacking all the people. I don't know. I mean.
Okay. So he, okay.
Although they never really directly tied him into the Phantom Barber invasions, the police are claiming that there was a large bundle of human hair found in his home, William Dolan, in his home. And the FBI are like, yeah, we identified some of it belonging to Carol Petey, the youngest victim, the six-year-old who was sleeping next to her brother. They sentenced him to 10 years in prison. None of the sentencing had anything to do with the hair thefts. They just put him in prison.
So the elder Heidelberg just had an axe to grind.
Yeah.
And needed to do something to get back at this guy. Yeah. And so he just framed him.
And people are saying that the police just wanted to put an end to it because people were scared.
Yeah.
And it's possible that, like, just for public peace of mind, they put this guy in jail, which is awful because years later when he was released, he took a lie detector test and he passed. Those things aren't really that accurate, especially back then. You know, they don't have the technology that we certainly do today. But rumor has it the real perpetrator was never identified or never caught.
That's so nuts. So we have no idea why this person was doing it.
Why were they stealing hair? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you steal someone's hair unless you were going to perform a spell on them? But like, not all of his victims were children. Not all of his victims were women. It just is. Yeah.
Maybe it was some sort of either sexual fetish or
yeah,
like getting off on the rush, because maybe you don't want to hurt someone,
yeah,
but you still want the thrill of breaking into a house. And so what's the least hurtful thing you can do that still affects someone? You
yeah.
cut their hair because it doesn't hurt them, but it still affects them. And
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Bethany.
Anything.
If someone was going to break into your apartment and you had two options, they could take your computer or they could cut a lock of your hair, which would you choose?
Hair. Every day. Hair.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
My computer has all of my things on it.
This guy is hovering over you and he's creepy and he's got something shiny. He's got it in your face and he's going to take your hair.
But if he's just going to take my hair, yeah, hair. Because, okay, am I going to wake up during this or is it just like the understanding that it happened?
You're going to wake up during this.
Hair.
Really? Still?
Yeah. Because ultimately, either way, I've been violated in my space and I'm not going to feel safe. Yeah. But at least I still have all my secrets.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like I don't keep anything in my hair except for spells and I can redo those. What about you? Would you want computer or hair?
I would almost rather him take my computer. I keep everything in my cloud. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Honestly, this is a good reminder for all of us. Keep everything in your cloud. Because if you're ever faced with this possibility of hair or computer, save your hair.
If there's one thing we can learn from the hair snipper of 1942,
yeah.
Back up your stuff to the cloud.
Back up your stuff. Yeah.
If you are looking at your home with new eyes and thinking, I need to A, get rid of some of the stuff in here and B, be a little bit better to the earth, True Earth laundry strips are for you. They will help you get rid of those big jugs of laundry detergent that are awful for the earth. They leave rings on your shelves. They get sticky and they're awful to try and recycle. True Earth laundry strips work just as well as your big jugs of laundry detergent.
I hate laundry jugs. I do my laundry at the local laundromat and I hate lugging that stupid big jug all the way over there. I also hate jugs because 700 million laundry jugs end up in landfills every year.
No more measuring laundry detergent. And for every plastic jug of laundry detergent, you could fit the equivalent of 12 packs of True Earth Eco Strips.
Wow.
By the way, True Earth is giving back and is matching every purchase and donating to hospitals, food banks, and shelters across the USA and Canada to help those in need. Nobody loves doing laundry, so why do we keep doing it the same old inconvenient way? Laundry jugs are heavy. They leave messy residue in your cupboards and they're extremely harmful on our environment. True Earth is the new, better way to do laundry.
Eliminate the mess, eliminate wasteful plastic jugs, and win your cupboard space back. Also, True Earth now has free shipping on all orders worldwide.
True Earth Eco Strips are a risk-free purchase. So if you aren't satisfied after using the product, they'll give you your money back. This is a no-brainer.
And guess what, taste buds? We've got 10% off of your order. All you have to do is head over to www.true.earth and use our promo code TASTE when you check out. That's www.true.earth.
And if you have any questions, send a message to @TrueEarthMovement on Instagram. And again, that's TRU Earth Movement.
Bethany, I have a story for you.
Ooh, tell me.
I feel like we've been talking about deepest, darkest fears this podcast.
Yeah, we have.
And I have a local story coming out of Hoboken, where I live, the city of Hoboken, that popped up on Reddit a few days ago. And it is so terrifying that when I sent the link to some of my friends, they refused to open it.
I'm so excited. I love a terrifying story. Tell me everything.
Okay. This girl writes on Reddit, "A rat came in through my toilet."
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Is the rat okay?
Bethany, you're caring about the rat in this situation?
Absolutely. That's a lot of water, and a lot of that rat must have been very scared. That's a tight situation.
Okay, I know. You're an animal lover, and yeah.
I am.
Okay, so here's what she said. "This is a sort of unbelievable story, but I figured I'd share it here. And if anybody wants to hear what I'm experiencing, this is it. I just moved into an apartment, a basement level apartment. Mm. And a few weeks ago, I started hearing some strange noises like mice coming through the walls. So I arranged with my landlord to have an exterminator come in and take a look around. So last night I was taking a shower and I heard what sounded like my toilet clogging, like a, you know, a glug, 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 glug.
Yeah.
And I looked out of my shower curtain and there was a fully grown rat trying to climb out of the toilet bowl.
Holy cow.
The main part of the rat's body, excluding his tail, was at least 9 inches, Bethany. That's a big rat. That's a big R.
I'm like, I'm gagging a little bit.
9 inches.
I love rats, but that's a lot to see coming out of a toilet.
That's bigger than average in many ways.
Okay. Wait, I have a, hold on. Here's a, I have a.
You have a ruler?
9 inches. 9 inches.
No.
You know what? That's a big.
It's almost a full ruler.
Yeah.
That's a cat. That's a cat.
Without tail. Add the tail and you have over a foot. You probably have like a foot and a half.
That's a lot of rat.
Yeah.
Okay. She ran out of the shower. She slammed the toilet seat down and she put a heavy toolbox on the seat lid for the rest of the night.
Aww.
Here's my question. What if you have to go number one? Do you like just tinkle in the shower, I guess?
You go in the sink, I think. You go in the sink.
What if it's number two? What do you got to go number two? You can't. There's a rat in your
go,
toilet.
I think you have to go on a bucket or on a plate.
You too.
You once pooped on a plate, Kathleen. How was it?
I pooped on a plate. Yeah. Well, that was for fecal samples, Bethany. And I really feel like you're attacking me right now.
I'm just saying that if there's one of us who has experience of pooping on some flatware, it's you.
It was a paper plate, so I could throw it away. I just want to put that out there for the
record. All right. So you poop on a paper plate and you throw it away. Poop in a bag. There's many things you can poop on. Just poop in a glove.
No, I guess you're right. Yeah. Like if you have a litter box, if you have a cat, yeah. you poop on in the litter box, I guess. Which your cat?
Poop in a balloon.
So the next morning, the exterminator comes. He inspects the premise. He doesn't find any entry points where these rats could be getting in since she's hearing them in the walls. And so he's like, okay, they're coming in through the pipes. Like it's the only logical explanation.
Yeah, well, we know because one just did and here it was.
So then he goes to inspect the toilet and the rat was dead in the back of the toilet. He had drowned, unfortunately. It's awful. I know. You're sad.
I'm really sad. That poor guy struggled.
I know, but you know what? If I had to pick my ass getting eaten out by a rat or the rat drowning, I would pick, I'm sorry.
I don't think it's an either or. I think there was a third option. Nope. I think the third option is you put on gloves. You put a little cloth over the little guy's head. And you pull him out. You pull him out by his armpits.
Bethany,
pull him out.
That's not how this works. This is not Ratatouille. This is Ratapooey, Bethany.
Well done.
I can't take credit for that. Somebody wrote that joke in the comments, so I'm...
Oh, damn it. I was really impressed.
I know, I'm going to bow, but it's not my bow to take, so, you know. Anyway, the exterminator says that in his 15-year career, he's seen this at least twice in Hoboken. Both times were basement apartments. So now this girl is like in a fight with the sewer company, like saying that they have to look at the sewers underneath the house. They're like, this isn't a thing that happens. You know, you're lying. So, yeah.
Doesn't it happen in places like Florida where people have to keep bricks on their toilet seats because slithery things will come out? Isn't that a thing that happens in Florida?
I don't know.
Florida is like this uncharted nature terrifying nightmare because there's dinosaurs that are alive in Florida.
What?
And they just come into your house.
No.
Like
Bethany,
alligators and crocodiles and.
Those aren't dinosaurs, Bethany. Those are people who have retired. They're very old. It's really not nice to call people's grandma and grandpa dinosaurs. I mean, yes, they are all very old, Bethany, but they certainly are not coming up through the toilet.
I'm sorry.
You can't get a lot of traction in the sewer. And, you know, you would need like very good hiking shoes to get traction down there to come up through the toilet.
And their hips are bad. So it's hard to climb anyway. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I'm pulling it up on my Instagram right now because, you know, I learned all of my very favorite fun facts on the Instagram. Okay.
Totally.
Female stingrays. This is so disgusting.
Lady rays.
Female stingrays can store a male sperm in her body for years and then use it to become pregnant whenever she wants.
That is impressive.
Female stingrays, turns out they're feminists.
They don't need no husband to be a mom.
I don't need no man. I'm gonna make my own babies.
They can be a mom when they want.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Okay. For what I learned, I need to give a shout out to a beloved listener. I'm going to pull it up right now. Now, why did I not pull it up when I had a chance to pull it up? I don't know.
Preparation is not something I know about, so I can't answer that question for you. By the way, I just have to say, between your bangs and your glasses, I love you.
Oh, honey. Thank you.
With all my heart, Bethany. Just like, I have no words. Other than I love you.
I love you too. I really appreciate it. I'm pleased with the bangs. They're making me happy.
143.
143 back to you. Okay. What I learned is from our beloved taste bud, Jerry. Jerry emailed and said, ladies, you were talking about the animals and just all of them, the animals, and worrying about something happening to them anytime they appear in a movie. This happened to me last night, Kathleen, because Dennis and I were rewatching Drag Me to Hell, which is such a good movie.
Oh, yeah. It's just a casual rewatch, Drag Me to Hell.
It's such a good movie. And in it, she has a kitten. And as soon as the kitten showed up on screen, I looked at Dennis and I said, that kitten's going to die. And he said, why? And I said, because anytime a movie has an animal in it, the animal is just there as a plot point and it's going to die. And spoiler alert, the cat dies. So Jerry said, I'm 100% like this. So I have discovered the website doesthedogdie.com. Jerry says, girls, I see an animal of any significance show up in a movie or TV show, even in the theater, and I go right to this site. You can see just the clear yes or no answer, or you can read more about how involved the animal is with the plot, what happens. Usually it's only spoiling the animal's fate for you.
Yeah.
Then you can watch the show in peace, knowing all is well, or be prepared and willing to accept the sadness that will come. And that is from Jerry. And so I went to that website, doesthedogdie.com.
Yeah.
And I looked up Drag Me to Hell, and it is totally accurate. There's no dog to die. There's no dragon. Doesn't animal die besides a dog, cat, or horse? No. Are animals abused? Yes. Is there dog fighting? No. Are there bugs? Yes. Does a horse die? No. Are there spiders? No. Does a cat die? Yes, 21 people say. And then they tell you what happens, and so you can skip it. They say to skip it, go to 5030 as soon as she grabs a knife. And it also does, like, does someone use drugs? Does someone abuse alcohol?
Yeah.
Are there teeth involved? Are teeth damaged? Because some people have teeth things.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
This is a fabulous. Whomever made this website deserves a Nobel Prize.
I know. Is someone kidnapped? Are there ghosts? Are there clowns? Does someone F or spit?
Wait, fuck?
No, the other F I don't want to say.
Fart?
Yeah, that one.
Really? You want to say the word fart?
I won't say it. It's an awful word. Anyway, and then the cool thing too is that one of them is like, does someone self-harm? And then they give the phone number for resources if you're someone who has issues with self-harm or cutting. Like, it's all of this crazy, amazing stuff. So anyway, it's awesome. And
doesthedogdie.com.
Yeah, doesthedogdie.com. Thank you so much, Jerry, by the way.
I'm trying to think of any movie with an animal in it where at least one animal doesn't die.
It doesn't happen.
Did someone die in Lady and the Tramp? I can't remember. Now I got to go through the list.
Yeah.
And Lion King, they certainly die.
Oh, yeah. If it's a purely animal movie, someone's going to die. The old dog is going to die. It's awful and someone's going to die. But that's why we talked about it last week or the week before. That's why I love John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum so much is that there's just animals there and you're not worried about them because they already killed a puppy and now all the movies set off. So like, you're kind of good to go, I hope.
You're good to go. Well, thank you, Jerry. That's a fantastic website.
Yeah.
If you have children who like don't like to see things and people die, this is like, it's a great resource.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Webgirl Kathleen on everything. I did a jazz hands. I haven't even really been using social media that much during quarantine. I'm like, jazz hands. Jazz hands. Social media.
You're working out your hands to please your man.
Bethany, where can people find you?
Twitter, Radio Bethany. On Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can find us on Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Twitter, at Acquired Podcast.
Plus, you got to check out our Facebook page. We have an amazing fan group there, too. Just search Acquired Taste Podcast on Facebook, and both of those groups are going to come up.
You can send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And at the end of every podcast, we play your voicemails. You can reach us at 917-994-0353.
Our episode is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on Instagram, lit_fuck, or on Twitter, at Chargar.
And of course, all of this information can be found on our website, acquiredtastepodcast.com. So check out some merch that we have there, because we are working on our new summer 2020 line.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Happy Memorial Day, Bethany. It's the kickoff to summer.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day to you too, Kathleen.
I know. So, taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. This is longtime taste bud Jennifer from Hoboken. Just wanted to talk about this morning. I was at Trader Joe's listening to an Acquired Taste podcast, and Bethany was talking about fitting all five of her fingers on her forehead. I then, too, proceeded to test the size of my forehead, and after putting my hand up to my forehead, I realized it made me look like I was checking myself for a fever, which isn't the best thing to do this time. I did get a few weird looks, so tip to all the other taste buds. Don't check your forehead size in public.
Hi, ladies. I just finished listening to your episode regarding the Michigan Triangle, and I thought it was so hilarious because last summer I got my husband this god-awful sweatshirt for his birthday that literally from like the 1980s, but on it is like a giant map of the Great Lakes, and it's called Shipwrecks of the Great Lakes, and there's a lot listed in Lake Michigan. But the funny story about this is that we were at a diner in northern Wisconsin, and we saw an older gentleman wearing this exact sweatshirt. My husband and his father just thought it was the bee's knees, and so I searched near and far on eBay, and I found one. My husband wears it with pride all the time, and I need to send you a picture of it because it ties in so perfectly to this episode. So thank you for sharing that information. I'm going to read more about it soon and probably tell my husband about it.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Andrea from Los Angeles. I have been alone 24 hours a day since the whole COVID-19 quarantine thing has started. And I've got to tell you, I just recently discovered your podcast, and I've been listening to previous podcasts, trying to work my way back to present. And I feel like I've got girlfriends over, and I'm laughing, and I'm actually, you know, answering questions out loud while I'm doing the dishes. And I just wanted to thank you so much for making this situation more tolerable for me. And I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm all caught up. Thanks.
Hello, everyone. This is Stacy here in Arkansas. Kathleen, I'm so happy. You know the brilliance of Never Have I Ever, because I watched it and I totally binged through it, and it was so amazing. I'm a high school teacher, so that made it even like more funny to me and also interesting to me. I don't know. I just think you guys are great, and I am so happy that you are able to be here for us. Thank you again for being you.
Hi, bud. I'm on a very socially distanced walk right now, and I have a confession. I like to kick dandelions, you know, the white ones with all the seeds. I like to kick them so that their seeds scatter, and I laugh. Okay. Have a great day, bud. It felt really good to get that off my chest. Bye.
Hi, ladies. My name's Jen. I'm calling from Lansdale, Pennsylvania, right outside Philadelphia. I'm a few episodes behind. I think actually a lot behind. But I'm listening to the episode about the woman who orgasms when she brushes her teeth. And my two-year-old is in the car, and he doesn't quite repeat what we're saying yet. So we don't really censor what we're saying. But with this story, he started to repeat what you guys were saying, and it was so funny. Thank God he was only repeating teeth and doctor and not the word orgasm, or we would have a big problem. So thanks for letting me know that my child now repeats what he hears. Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.